Slashers and Survivor Girls. This is your host, Mistress Meg.
I'm a very upset lunchbox.
And this is another episode of the Creepy Real Horror Cast.
It's...
Depression edition, apparently.
It is... Sipping on my Mountain Dew, just trying to think of happier times.
And chewing on your straw, so you're clearly stressed.
That was your cat. Your cat did that.
I'm sorry. Lucifer's
thanks.
Lucifer?
Yeah, it was Lou.
Yeah, that's about right. He's got a weird straw fetish.
Lou, you're a dick.
But he likes chewing on straws. He always has.
It's okay. It still works. It's still good.
So, thank you so much for joining us. If you haven't yet, subscribe. And we'll drop in your favorite podcatcher every Tuesday. Join us on social media. Facebook, Instagram, and Slasher at Creepin' It Real. R-E-E-L as a movie reel. If you feel so inclined and you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email us at creepinitreal.cm@gmail.com. And you can also buy our merch, creepinitreal.redbubble.com, or hit that link in the Instagram bio and get all of our super sweet, kind of cool, and really neat stuff. It's pretty neat.
All done by me. Because I do it. I do all the damn stinks.
So, this week, we're back in Haddonfield. Yay, Illinois.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to just take it all in, and it's just, I don't want to be negative.
But it's Halloween 4, Return of Michael Myers. Ooh. This is what everyone was clamoring for after Season of the Witch came out. Bring us the shape. We want Michael Myers back. So the studio went okie dokie, and then this came out.
It's like we got the Wish version of Michael.
Pretty much. Which ended up coming out October 21st, 1988. It was made for a budget of about $5 million and ended up grossing $17.7 million worldwide. The movie was written... It was written by Donnie Lapesius, Larry Ratner, Benjamin Ruffner. It was directed by Dwight H. Little. The H is important.
I literally thought you were going to say, Schrute, and I was just going to lose my mind.
Would it have been better if
Dwight
K.
Schrute? That would have been so much better.
It would have made a very different movie.
That's so good.
Halloween 4 stars Donald Pleasence as Sam Loomis, Ellie Cornell as Rachel, Danielle Harris as Jamie. George P. Wilbur puts the mask on as Michael Myers. Michael Pataki as Dr. Hoffman. Bo Starr as Ben Meeker. Kathleen Kinmont as Kelly Meeker. Sasha Jensen as Brady. And Carmen Philpy as Reverend Jackson P. Sayer. Coolness.
Yes.
The doom and gloom guy.
He wasn't doom and gloom. Are you kidding me?
He was chasing the apocalypse.
Send me down the river. Send me. And Loomis never looked happier.
Nope.
He found a friend. We will talk about that in a second. But yeah,
he found a kindred spirit in that one.
This guy's fucking bonkers too.
So after a piss poor reception and a lot of pissing and moaning from the fans... The studio decided, and the producers decided, okay, we're bringing Michael Myers back, and it came out 10 years to the month, I think, after the original John Carpenter version, and it's mostly a retread of that John Carpenter movie.
Yeah, this one, it is a little bonkers for me. I have a big problem when it comes to continuity and the Halloween
series. Is it because he had eyeballs?
Fucking he had eyes! Why does he have eyes? He has eyes!
Ooh, pick me, I know.
Go ahead.
I know, pick me.
Go ahead.
Magic!
And you know what else the motherfucker didn't have? He had okay skin. It wasn't burnt. He wasn't crispy.
You know what killed me was this was actually time-lapsed correctly. This was literally 10 years after Halloween 2, which took place overnight following the events of Halloween 1, right? So he was bandaged for 10 years and then he was fine. Because remember when they went into... Okay, so this movie starts off the exact same way that Halloween 78 did, with a couple of white coats coming in to transfer... Michael to Smith's Grove.
Oh, that security guard?
so bad.
It was the worst fucking security guard ever. Just sitting there going like, oh man, welcome to hell. Man, this place sucks so bad.
Oh, and then he had to recap everything that had happened up until that point.
Yeah, because, everyone is so stuck on number three that it's like, I need to get you right back in the saddle and just info dump every fucking thing that happened.
So we get a pretty good Reader's Digest version of the first two films, and
it's like when you stand in a movie theater line and you're talking to that, like, your friend that's trying to explain to you, like, what happened in those films. It's just like it's that quick. It felt exactly like that, mm-hmm. where it's just like, oh man, like, we were gonna go see this movie. Oh, here's everything that happened in this movie. Oh, Harry got his wand, and then, you know, Hagrid came in and just, you know, he did this thing, and then Dumbledore shows up, and then all of a sudden this big fucking thing, and then there's Snape, and then there's, you know, Hermione. She's just a dream. Like, that's kind of how that felt.
So wow,
welcome to the Harry Potter podcast.
Can we?
I'm all for that. I am all for some Harry Potter.
Yay.
I'm not joking. Like, I will, like, yes. The answer is yes. We could totally do a Harry Potter podcast.
Sweet. We'll put that away for later. So, I've not seen this movie in quite a long time. And so as I'm watching that opening scene, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, boy, this looks familiar. And not because I have seen this movie before, because I have, but because it's just like Halloween 1, and I'm really getting sick of Halloween movies having any setting in a hospital, no matter how small at this point.
Is it weird that out of every major iconic slasher, Michael is the only one that ever has any type of medical dealings at all? He's always in bandages, he's always in the hospital, he's always doing something medically in his films.
We always end up, that's actually a really good point, we always end up going back to hospitals with him, because we did it in H2, right?
Yep.
It was in this movie. Jamie in part 5 was in a mental hospital. In part 6, at the end of the Curse of Michael Myers, we end up in a hospital. God. In the beginning of Resurrection, yep. We're in a hospital with Laurie. Rob Zombie's part 2 starts in a hospital. What the actual... Halloween Kills starts in a hospital? Fuck! Why?
For some reason, there's Michael so Myers much. Is wrapped around a goddamn hospital. There's no other slasher... Like, you got Freddy Krueger in the goddamn boiler room, or the
Myers.
Fucking Elm Street house, or, and then you got, like, Jason just...
He's in Camp Crystal Lake, mostly.
Or on a boat, like,
he's
and then...
He's on a boat. He's on a boat. Everybody so, look at him, because
But there's never... There's never a time where, for some reason, you don't get looped into a hospital. And it's not like it's an insane asylum type thing. It's like, no, this is like a legit hospital.
Yeah.
And also, too, it's like, for some reason, someone always ends up bandaged or, you know, like, trying to be taken care of for something during the movie. And in this one, it was fucking Michael. And that little scene drove me bananas, because it's like, one, he was shot in the head twice. Perfectly in the eyes, mm-hmm. to where you get the cool little, like,
and then immolated
blood drip thing, and he's grabbing his, you know, grabbing at his face, and then all of a sudden, yeah, then he's lit on fire, and then in this film he's sitting in bed with his head looks like a goddamn lollipop thing. It's just a big mound of just
gauze,
and then all of a sudden it's just like, they're like, oh yeah, like, let's just check his vitals. I was like, the motherfucker lives for some goddamn reason.
And they left the female Smith's Grove attendant alone. The two men walk out and leave a tiny 5-foot-tall woman alone with a homicidal maniac.
And they never actually... they say that he's alive and he's conscious and that they have to move him.
Great.
And again, another movie where they fucking move him.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, it's like change the fucking record. It's just like, come on. Like, there is so much that it's just, flames on the side of my face. So, but that was the thing, was like, with this one, when the doctor and the male attendant, like, walks away to finish some paperwork, I was like, why? Just fucking do it right there. Hmm. I was like, what was the reason for that when she had to, like, check his vitals and stuff? Again, it's the whole to get you amped up because mm-hmm. his arm drops down, and that's where I was like, oh, he's not fucking burned. Like, the motherfucker.
He was kind of scarred. I mean, not. I hear you.
Again, it was 10 years, and you would have time to heal. But at the same time, I'm like.
No, that motherfucker was lit on fire from head to toe.
And he was left there. It wasn't like somebody came around with a fire extinguisher and put him out pretty quickly and he just left with some, like, crispy ouchies.
You could see the end of H2, the close-up shot of the mask melting and his face very clearly getting extra crispy underneath.
Yeah, he was done.
So somehow, him and Dr. Loomis, whose scar... What cracked me up about Loomis was when we first meet him in part 4, he's got the scar on his face, and I don't know who initially did the makeup, but boy, it looked like an egg because it had that big, like, lump thing in the middle of it. So it looked like he had a flesh colored fried egg on his face. And then partway through the movie, I guess they decided to fix it and they smoothed it out, but didn't bother going back to reshoot anything. So. It looks really stupid because it's suddenly just, it's from one scene to the next, basically it just shifts and it's a completely different scar pattern.
Yeah.
So that's just one of the special effects problems. Also, the pink mask.
Yep, the pink mask. Yeah, there's a lot of problems that we're going to get into here with this one.
Halloween 3 came out in 1982. This movie came out in 1988. They had 6 years to pull their heads out of their asses in order to bring Michael Myers back. Like, the heat for Halloween 3 had died down, they had time to shop some scripts, they had time to kind of organize pre-production fairly well, get all the special effects lined up, blah, 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 whole thing. And yet, somehow, the wrong masks get delivered. And they still went ahead and shot one scene with them. The scene in the school when Michael is chasing down Jamie. But there's that one scene in the school. And they were like, well, fuck it. We're going to shoot anyway because we have a schedule to keep. And so they put pink mask with blonde hair on him and just think no one's going to notice. But when they fixed it, they didn't go back and reshoot this little... What was it, 10 seconds worth of scene, though?
Not even. Like, it was a flash.
Like, I get it. You got a schedule to keep, but really, what would it have taken, an hour to reshoot that? You couldn't spare an hour?
Or just zoom in just slightly, just so you could just maybe see.
So the mask is out of frame or something?
Fucking, like, just peanuts that thing, where you only see, like, the top half of Michael throwing Loomis through a goddamn window, because that's more important than showing just the mask. But yep. It's just like,
so we got us a pink mask.
Yeah, so
which is yay, it's so cute.
He's feeling spicy.
Yeah.
Might throw a doctor through a window later.
And once again, he inexplicably, like, they're talking about at the beginning of the movie, I thought it was really kind of funny when they're transporting him to Smith's Grove and the two attendants are talking about how he has a niece back in Haddonfield and that brings the beast to life somehow, and the murderous rage starts rippling through his body and he is compelled to break out and go after his niece for reasons, which are not actually explained until Halloween Parts, albeit in the silliest, most convoluted way, But we don't get that explanation until two movies later as to why he needed to go after Jamie.
Well, they couldn't figure that shit out until, like, two movies later just because they didn't have a fucking idea. Because it's a shit idea. It's like, to quote the old man from Billy Madison again, it's poop again!
That seems to be a running theme lately.
It's so terrible.
It's poop again.
It's always the poops. Always the poopins. It's always poop. It's just the big, or what is it, Malcolm? That's a big pile of shit. Like, it's just the whole thing with Jamie. I don't mind that she's the. It's his niece, but it's Lori's daughter, and Lori went fucking bananas, is what it was, and had to, like, what was the...
She died in a car wreck.
Oh, she did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, because if you remember, and I guess spoiler alert for anybody who isn't aware that H20 exists, but, Lori got into a car wreck and quote-unquote died. And so leaving, and I guess her husband went too, because Jamie's dad wasn't around, and Jamie ended up having to go into foster care, so she went to the Carruthers family, and they were taking care of her. She'd already, by the time this movie starts, Lori had been dead a year, quote-unquote dead, and Jamie had been in their care for about a year.
Yeah, it was like 11 months or something like that.
Yeah, so it was coming up on about a year. And that gets explained away in H20 when she is basically voluntarily put herself in her version of the witness protection program as Carrie Tate, and it comes out that she had to fake her death to get out of Haddonfield and blah, 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 blah.
And she never actually had a daughter and...
Right.
All that other... And, like, then she ends up with a son, and...
Mm-hmm. Jamie Lloyd gets retconned away, but they kept that... the idea of the car wreck in there.
I can't wait to do that fucking movie.
So, Lori's dead, for all intents and purposes. Okay. And Jamie was placed in the Carruthers, with the Carruthers as a foster family.
Now, like I was saying, I don't mind the Jamie story. Like, that is something that...
No, not at all.
When it comes out that Lori was Michael's sister,
mm-hmm.
I was like, that is the one thing about Michael's lore or, like, you know, history that I'm actually all about, because for the longest time, it's like, everyone kept telling me, like, oh, the reason that Michael Myers is scary is because you don't know why he's doing it. He's just a shark in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just kind of swim around. And that wasn't a Jaws reference.
And yet they keep trying to explain away why he's going after particular people.
Yeah. And so when, for me, that doesn't hold much water. Because with, like, Freddy... There's a reason why he's going after. It doesn't matter what kids are going after. The reason is because the parents, he's kind of punishing the parents for what they did to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also a dream demon. So it's like, it also works on a whole another thing. Jason, it's weird because at the start of it, it was, you know, Mrs. Voorhees and she had a reason. But then later it was Jason coming back because his mother was telling him to do it. And he was, again, keeping anybody in, out of his camp. You stay off my lawn. He became that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then it, you know, he decided to venture out and do great things in New York or Canada.
In Vancouver. And then, he really wrecked Vancouver.
Oh, my God. He kicked the shit out of that boombox. That is the best fucking kill I have ever seen. Because those people in the street, holy shit. I'd rather talk about that than this shit. Anyways.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
This is not worse than Jason Takes Manhattan.
It's pretty bad. But that was the thing. It was like, so I don't mind the whole lore of Lori being Michael's sister. And then with this bringing Michael back because of money, having, you know, bringing in another relative, I guess would, you know, I guess kind of makes sense. And the best part about this movie is Danielle Harris. Like, she is hands down the best thing in this movie.
I liked her, and I liked Jamie. There was definitely moments where she was a little too snivelly for me. Like, I don't like when kids in movies get she was very sensitive, yeah. and I feel like it was a little overdone emotionally. But also,
she was great with Rachel, though.
She was great with Rachel, but I let it slide because she's portraying a kid who's dealt with some trauma, and she's very young. I think she's only... Danielle Harris was 11.
This is her first film, right?
She turned 11 while they were filming this. I think she did some other smaller stuff prior to this. But she turned 11 while they were filming this movie, but she played a couple years younger because she's so small. So she played, I think, 8 or 9, but she was really 11 years old.
And she is still gorgeous. Like, she is...
She's 45 now, and she's beautiful.
Oh, my God. She is gorgeous. Well, you saw her a couple years ago at a Spooky Empire, and it's just, like, it's just unfair. It's just not fair.
Yeah, she came up to my belly button. She's fucking tiny.
And if didn't her sister come and buy one of my shirts, too? Like,
something like that, yeah.
Yeah, like, she came by, and I was like, oh, that's actually really cool. So, some part of me is with the Harris family.
Well, that was, like, 10 years ago, so maybe not.
Yeah, not anymore, but it's still fun to think about, that's all. So, it happened.
The Jamie character was fine. I think, actually, in terms of final girls, especially for this series, Rachel was for sure one of the best ones. Probably... Honestly, I can't even say that Lori was even a terribly... And this is going to be... Who the hate mail? I'll brace for it. But in
I'll
terms
fucking
of,
deal with it. You come at me.
I don't think Lori... In the first two movies, especially the second movie, was a particularly interesting final girl. She was very reactive. She wasn't very proactive. And in the second movie, she was incapacitated for most of it.
In a wig.
In a real bad wig. But Rachel, I really kind of liked her because she had some spine to her. And... she had some guts, and yeah, she was still an 18-year-old girl who was doing 18-year-old girl things, and she was a little selfish and kind of wanted to do her own thing and go hang out with Brady because he's, like, so hot. Look at his eyebrows. sorry, I had to. Those
things were massive.
They deserved their own credit line at the end of the movie.
Thick.
Like 8 C's.
Oh, thick.
Yeah, like 8 C's in the back of the throat. God, his eyebrows. But she ended up being pretty great. She ended up embracing Jamie, which I thought was wonderful because it was a little bit dicey there because Jamie really latched onto Rachel as the big sister, but Rachel, partly because of her age and partly because if she had been dealing with foster siblings before, they're temporary. So why is she going to go and get attached and just to have them leave after a certain period of time where they get adopted out or whatever? So, but Janie very desperately wanted Rachel to be her big sister.
That was the thing. It was like, I had to give Rachel, like, a really good pass because it was like, I felt bad for her because, like, yeah, it's like her family really was, like, putting it all on her. And it's like, what were the parents doing? They had to go out for, it was some type of, like...
It was some work dinner.
It was a work dinner that they couldn't get out of. And then they're, like, turn around. It's like the babysitter, like, broke her foot or something like that.
Yeah, the babysitter couldn't make it. So Rachel had to stay home, even though she had a date with Brady. Rachel had to stay home and watch Jamie and take her trick-or-treating, so which she didn't really particularly want to do because she was hoping that she and Brady would be able to get serious that night. Well, yeah. Brady, who, after figuring, oh, fuck, well, I'm not going to get laid with her, goes after the sheriff's daughter. It's Mary. Yeah.
Well, that was the thing was, like, so even, like, when Rachel, like, tells her parents, like, no, like, I kind of actually feel like me and Brady are gonna be doing something, but she's like, I've got plans. Yeah, and then like her parents are like, oh, well, quit being so selfish. It's like, all you're doing is thinking about yourself. And I'm like, bitch, like I had this shit planned. Mm-hmm. I was like, and she's what, 17, 18 years old?
Yeah, she's right in that window.
I was like, that's an adult. I was like, if our kids did that, we're like, hey, they went as adults and at 18. Like, yeah, set up plans. Then as me, as another adult, should go over to them and say, hey, do you have, like, this is what's going on. Not like, oh, because if that's the case, then no, you need to go and find another fucking sitter for this mm-hmm. little girl.
But they didn't want to do that because I don't think they wanted to pay anybody. But
it was the whole thing of them kind of throwing it back in her face, like, oh, you're being selfish, like, quit thinking just about yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's like, maybe it's like, it could have been a thing where, because the one thing with Brady and Rachel was that she never, like, asked or, like, you know, like, hey, can we maybe postpone it for tomorrow night? Or, you know, like, do you mind, like, waiting because I have to do this? Like, there's a situation, whatever it is. Like,
I think then, she did when she went to the drugstore. Didn't she say something about that? Or she just
said, like, she basically just said, oh, I can't do it tonight. And then he's like, can I just come over later? Like, and she's like, no, my parents will be home. And he's just like, okay then, and then walks the fuck off. And then she just kind of like, like, great, because he knew that he wasn't really getting anything. And
yeah, but Kelly Meeker, the sheriff's daughter, she'll put out them tiggle bitties.
Oh, the best part of the movie. Boobies. Just hit the pause button. However, again, another flaw to this movie is they cut out the tiggles. They cut it, like, just before they show the goods, and then they come back, and it just leaves you, and then the fucking sheriff shows back up, and then ruins the whole show.
Not nearly enough boobies for your taste, huh? Is that how that goes?
Man, like, when you got something that just leaves a sour taste in your mouth, you need that sweetness.
Yeah, right? You're like, I need the boost, though.
Come on. It's just, because it was right there, like, she was getting going, and I was like, oh, this is, and she... She's, okay. Anyways, moving
Settle
on.
Settle down.
Yeah, but that was the thing was the whole thing with Rachel, I felt bad because, like, her parents really put it on her. And then you have the little one that turns around and says, oh, if I wasn't here, you could have gone on your date. And then, like,
adding to the guilt trip.
And Rachel's like, well, fuck, like, I can't,
right? What do I do now?
Yeah, they're like, there's and then her dad throws it back in her face, like, way to go, Rachel. It's like oh my god,
how is not any of this her fault? No. She made plans with her guy, and she probably had him for like days at that point. Come on now.
Yeah, and so I was like, I felt really bad for that. And then when she ends up going, you know, back over to Jamie, and she's like, oh, you know, like, don't worry about it. It's like, you know, I do love you. Like, I care about you, and I want to make sure that you're all right. But, you know, and then Jamie's like, oh, do you love me like a sister? And, you know, they have a bond, and then they're like, oh, let's go out for ice cream. She's like, two scoops. It's like, boom.
It was a cute exchange. Yeah. And it got smoothed over, and Jamie's feelings were calmed down, and yay, it's great. I really did. Actually, the chemistry between the two actresses was really good in this movie.
Very believable.
It was super believable. Yeah, yep. Big sister, little sister. The dynamic really worked with those two. I thought that once Rachel kind of made up her mind, like, you know what, I'm just going to embrace this kid, like, it really worked. So I did appreciate that quite a lot. Like, I was kind of like, okay, this is one of the positives of the film. This is what's working, is that relationship. I agree with you. The parents, though, super shitty. Just being like, well, you gotta do it. Because I think it had something to do with the dad potentially getting a promotion or something. So there was, like, a real sense of urgency of needing to go.
Yeah. I mean, and I understand that whole deal, but it's just, how shitty is it to make your daughter feel really, really bad guilt her into it?
Yeah, like,
it's terrible.
Parental guilt trip, anybody? Good God, man. Yeah.
But, and then the thing with Brady, there was the whole
thing. Cops do it by the book.
No, there was the whole thing of when they were in the drugstore and he was being like super nice, you know, to Jamie. And he's like, oh yeah, you know, all of our costumes are there. We got the best selection. And then they start, you know, talking about that stuff. And one of the comments that was just like, again, it was another like kind of like a red flag, was just the whole thing of him going, it's like 5 o'clock. You couldn't tell me sooner. And it's just like, dude, like, she fucking found out this morning. And it's just like...
and when would she have had the time? Because I think she had school that day or something. Something. Like, they actually had... No, they had school that day.
So. Yeah, and I was just like, it was just the whole thing of him... Oh, and she's like, oh, well, like, I'm sorry, I found out this morning. And he's like, well, it's not that. It's just, you know... When it's like, and again, I understand that it's, you know, you got plans.
It can be annoying, but also he was only hoping, he was going in the hopes to get laid.
That's it.
I don't think they were on the same page in terms of relationship goals.
Yeah.
To him, he wanted to get his dick wet, which is why it was so easy for him to look over at Kelly and be like, okay, I'll get that one instead.
Yeah. And I love her reasoning too, because... when the cops end up grabbing Jamie and Rachel, taking them back, the sheriff actually takes them back to his house as kind of like a stronghold, because, you know, that's like the safest place that they could think of, because he can like lock the shit up. Well, it's, as you said, the sheriff's daughter, so Brady and her are there trying to, you know, about to get busy, and all of a sudden now Rachel's got to deal with this. And it was just the whole thing of, you know, she was just like, you know, I'm really sorry. I didn't know that you and Brady had a thing. And she's just like, yes, you did. It's like, you just didn't care. And then she turns around and goes, well, if you don't, you know, stop acting that way, you're going to lose a lot more men. And it's just like, and then I needed to see more. They cut this shit quick. Rachel goes over, grabs the cup of coffee and fucking like, she's like, have some coffee, and like throws it on her. And then, like, then the scene just cuts, and I'm like, no. There was a fight. Like, I need to see that. Like,
that's way more interesting than anything else you're going to show me after this.
Yeah, I was like, no. It's like, and then on top of that, it's
but girl fight.
Yeah, it's like she had tingle bitties, and there was a fight. No, stop. You ruined it. Soiled it. So, but that was the thing. Was
I think she also, Rachel also... to, I forget exactly what she said, but to the effect of calling Kelly a whore.
Pretty much, yeah. It's the nicest way to call someone.
Yeah.
Or instead of it being like in, like Loki in Avengers, what is he,
Mjolnir. It's like, okay. Dude, that line should not have affected me the way that it did. But it...
because it came out of Tom.
Like, I also have some proclivities that spoke very loudly to. So.
I think everybody perked up at that
moment. He goes and calls Widow a mewling quim, which is an absolute insult. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, uh-oh. Okay.
I'm feeling tinglies.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, Loki, whatever you want. I have mewling a
quim.
I have a problem.
to here's the ball gag. Just
like. And in the theater, too, because we went and saw that one in the theaters, and we're sitting there with our friends, and he does that line, and I'm like,
fucking, like, IMAX, like, sound, like, just the rumble. You're like, oh, Lord. Anyways, back to, you know, not the Avengers
Rats
podcast, but no, but so everything leading up to Rachel having to take Jamie out for trick-or-treating. So once they're actually in the drugstore, we finally get that shot of, was Michael actually there? Mm. Or was that just a vision that, that Jamie ended up having?
Yeah, because there were moments in the movie where Jamie... I'm gonna go out on a limb and say she had some psychic connection of some description. Because she would have these flashes where she would see Michael and she would be awake. So it's not like it was a bad dream. But she would have these flashes where she would see him like in her room and stuff like that. So she was hallucinating this man which, red flag. You might want to see a doctor about that.
Just not Loomis.
Not that one. Any other one.
I shot him 6 times.
Although, I do, just since you brought Loomis up, real quick before we get back on the drugstore scene. I liked Loomis better. This is probably the best version of Loomis I've seen. He's
agreed.
Way less erratic. He's way less creepy.
He still loved his numbers, though.
He was still a bit panicked and very intense, but it wasn't to the point where he seemed dangerous. It was more like a sense of urgency, like, okay, guys, we really need to get this done, especially after everyone at the police precinct got slaughtered.
And this is another movie where Loomis has to deal with the head person at some type of hospital fucking up Michael's transport and then going back. Like, it's another.
Yeah, and that same guy had the nerve to call Loomis a nut and saying he should retire. But anyway.
Or die.
That was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But back to the drugstore. So, yeah, there was a scene. And this one, we knew Michael was there for sure because he stole a mask.
Yeah. He stole it.
He stole the Shatner mask, which, for some reason... Okay, so Haddonfield...
You just had a moment of, like, my brain acts.
Okay, so here's So 10 years prior to this, you have this mass murderer... running through the town killing babysitters, right? And eventually, all that gets sorted out. He gets taken away. So why are we selling masks to people that look like Myers' mask? And then we see a scene later in the movie where there are 3 dumbass college-age boys standing around in the blue jumpsuit with the Myers mask, about to become bullet holes, which is really fucking stupid, especially because the APB went out that Myers was back in town and there was a curfew, so everybody needed to go home. But why are we selling masks of the killer who turned your town upside down?
It's especially in that town. Now, I can see where, you know, most Halloween stores, like, they'll...
Like, it's not...
They pull out some weird, like, costume.
It's not like in our universe where it's a movie character who's kind of cool. This is their, quote-unquote, real life that has been completely disrupted by this being. And so we're gonna sell it as a costume to people... It seems real sick and twisted, if you think about it for a second.
Oh, it's terribly sick and twisted. I mean, I was trying to think of, like, what that would be if like, someone was, like, they went and, like, dressed up like...
Like, if somebody wanted to dress...
Like, John Wayne Gacy or something like that.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, where was he from? He was from Michigan,
Was it Chicago? I thought it was Chicago.
I have to look it up, but, like... Yeah, okay, so yeah, John Wayne Gacy's a good one because Pogo the Clown was his alter ego. Like, in the town where he was, if somebody was like, I'm going to dress up as John Wayne Gacy, wouldn't you be a little confused and have some questions as to their mental stability?
And, well, I mean, we do it all the time with Freddy Krueger, or, I mean, I get that, I mean, it's a fictional character, but, I mean, again, it's like, what if Freddy Krueger, it's like Freddy Krueger was a child, you know, like, pedophile, like,
killer, murder,
like, the whole thing. And I was like, the fact that we have kids dressing up as that, it's like, it's somewhere in, deep in our brain, we get locked in with those characters, and they, again, Halloween is your time to be the bad guy. It's be the villain. And it's like...
And you can get away with it.
Yeah, but again, it's like, to have a town... Where it's like, that
basically
is...
Basically celebrating this guy?
Exactly. And it wasn't that they were just selling just the one mask. It was, or, like, they have, like, one left over. As you said, there was at least a group of kids that went and got the same goddamn costume. Jumpsuit, the whole thing. And they're walking around, and they're hanging out, just creeping
in
the streets.
It's not like it was in Scream, for example, when they had the Ghostface killer masks, because it was a generic... peanut eye ghost costume that was sold in costume shops everywhere. So it was a generic costume that they just happened to pull off the rack. Like, the Michael Myers thing was very specific. And it wasn't... I don't know. It's just, I find the whole thing... When I thought about it for a second, I was like, that's super fucking twisted. That they just happened to have a few of these on a hook. And we find out that he really is back in town because Jamie does actually see him. And we see him steal a mask and then in pieces of the broken mirror before he walks out of the store.
Yeah. Now, the lead up to that, I do, again, I find very, very funny because he fucking steals a goddamn tow truck. And we'll talk about that scene in full, too.
He's such a good driver. For a man who's only driven two vehicles in his entire life.
Just got out of the hospital. After being badly burned and no fucking eyes? Come on!
And I imagine he wasn't moving much over the last 10 years. Now, which means his muscles should have atrophied to one degree or another if he really wasn't moving that much. Because if you remember, in Kill Bill, Uma Thurman, the bride, had to force herself and retrain her body how to move because she was so badly atrophied.
I mean,
she could hardly move.
Great, great reference. I haven't seen that movie in forever. Beautiful job. Yeah. Love it. I'm going to have to watch the movie
again. That was one of the slightly more realistic portrayals of somebody who's been bedridden for an extreme amount of time I've ever seen.
I'm going to have to rewatch this movie again. But I've had friends who are nurses at nursing homes. And if you do not... I'm more curious as to how they took care of Michael.
Oh, yeah.
Because you could get bad, bad bed sores where it's rotting out your back. And it's just
And he was already behind the eight ball with that anyway because of the third degree burns he suffered after being, set on fire.
Yeah, and it's if he, in the 10 years that he had time to fucking heal and do all this stuff, it's don't you think he would have just been I'm fucking up! And you guys are all fucked. Because they didn't have him in restraints. They didn't have him locked down or any of that. Where it's oh, yeah, he's a federal prisoner. But it's just there's no way that this motherfucker couldn't just be okay, I'm going to go ahead and do my shape thing. And
So then that begs the question. So was he basically catatonic? And the trigger to get him going was to mention that he still had a family member alive.
Fucking family members.
He was basically catatonic until they said he had a niece in the ambulance. And then he got real cranky about it.
Yeah, he put a thumb in the guy.
Yeah.
Right in the forehead. he loved doing that.
I mean, he left... What was kind of fun about this was the path of mayhem that... Mike Myers left wherever he went. That was always pretty interesting. He tore up an entire police precinct.
Yeah.
Which, can you answer this question for me? Who called the deputy and told him the precinct was a slaughterhouse? Who told him that? Because it wasn't the sheriff. Because the sheriff didn't talk to him until he showed up at his house. So who alerted the deputy to the precinct being a murder scene?
Jesus. Jesus is the answer.
Jesus is always the answer.
Jesus, fried chicken. That's what I tell you. That's right. Let's just do that. That's the only fucking answer I got because this guy just didn't know how.
Somehow, somebody... called the deputy at Sheriff Meeker's house, and the deputy was there to keep an eye on Kelly because Myers was back, and the deputy was doing a pretty poor job of it because Kelly was getting groped. Brady was there the whole time, right under this deputy's nose, so he was real bad at his job. And he runs out, he gets a phone call, and then he runs out to the squad car, to the radio, to talk to Sheriff Meeker and say, hey, I heard about the station.
What?
From who? That's who? Because Meeker had just found out about it.
Because he just walked in.
He walked in with Loomis because he's all right, we gotta go back to this. Because that was...
It just hit me. The deputy did it. The deputy went in and slaughtered the whole thing, and he messed up and blabbed that it was him.
No.
No? Damn it.
Because he'd been stationed at the Meekers the whole time.
Yeah, but it's better than anything that we just heard.
But, yeah, so we got a phone call, and then contact with Sheriff Meeker, and then Meeker shows up after the fact, but the only person who knew about the precinct was Sheriff Meeker, and oh god, I've gone cross-eyed.
Yeah. Oh, and then the best thing was Meeker driving Michael to the house.
Yeah, Michael...
He fucking Ubered him.
Michael hit... Didn't... Wasn't it in the back seat?
Yeah, Michael's just sitting in the back seat just chilling.
With Loomis in the car with him, too.
No. Loomis wasn't in the car with this one. Because the sheriff... He was in the car with the sheriff, Rachel, and Jamie.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. After the fact.
Meeker was on his way back, and Michael was in the back seat. And then that's when they're like, okay, well, we gotta lock this place up. And then as they did that, Michael gets out and then gets in the house before they lock everything up. How funny it would have been if Michael was, shown in the background doing his, shape thing, locking the doors for him,
helping out?
Yeah, shutting windows.
There's a dangerous killer on the loose, you guys! Lock the windows!
He's opening the fridge and he's, making sure everything's closed,
Or, you know what would have been really cool is if he snuck up to the attic, grabbed a phone, and started calling them from inside the house.
Yes.
It's me, Billy.
Little Black Christmas. God, that movie's so fucking good. Oh, I can't wait for Christmas to watch that again. Oh, mm-hmm. God, I love Black Christmas. But yeah, no, that would have been hilarious because there was one shot where, what's her name? The sheriff's daughter?
Kelly.
Where Kelly walks over to, I believe it's Meeker, and he's got the shotgun, and she's, giving him coffee and stuff like that, and he's like, oh, you need to go upstairs and just hang out and whatever, and all of a sudden, you see Michael in the background, mm-hmm. and then he kind of just, shows up and then goes away with, flick of the screen, and, the sheriff, or the deputy's just, looking down the hall, because he saw something. And I was like, oh, see, that, I was like, shit like that for Michael, I think is really, really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Because he fucking loves showing himself and then fucking off.
He also loves interior decorating, but he didn't do really any of that this time.
But fuck, what the hell are you talking about?
Oh, no, wait, the hands on the TV, on top of the TV?
We got the hands on the TV and then we got the fucking, the titty hanging.
Yeah, can someone explain to me how we can use a rifle as a stabby weapon?
First of all, I gotta give Michael points because he was fucking sitting in that rocking chair like fucking Farmer Brown, just hanging out. I swear to God, if there was a dog sitting right next to him, that'd have been I would have fucking lost it.
He killed Sunday.
But
he killed the dog in this one.
I know he did.
And Loomis didn't say he got hungry.
No. But that was the thing. It was so Michael's sitting in the chair, rocking back and forth, just taking a break with a shotgun. And then Kelly walks up with the coffee, looks over and sees the deputy just... I thought he was folded up.
No, he had his arms wrapped around his neck.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, cool. I was like, that's kind of, I would have liked to see that kill. That would have been fun to get a hold of. But then Michael stands up, and instead of turning around and doing the thing that you think that guns are supposed to do, he finds another use for it. And
how do you stab someone with a rifle?
I mean,
it's got a flat end. And the amount of force needed for something flat to go through something else is a lot more than I think the human body ought to be capable of producing. And furthermore, he stuck it through a woman, let's conservatively say, she was probably about 140 pounds, stuck it through a woman.
And titties.
And her triple D's through two layers of drywall and then pinned her there with a rifle pointing down towards the floor, and to quote my boyfriend, gravity works all the time, so she should have slid down to at least the butt of this rifle, but it had her, like, a thumbtack pinned to the wall. Because I guess gravity doesn't work well in this universe.
Yeah, I mean, like, and the gun was still sticking out far enough to where, yeah, she could have just...
How long was the barrel?
Yeah, and
then... They're not that long!
No, and it's like, and to actually go through her, through the drywall, as you said, and then stick... I was like, that is, again, very impressive.
Now, I think it went through the wall on the other side.
Yeah, the only thing that I could think of that was, like, that I can give it a pass on is the fact that Michael is that strong where he could just...
He is supposed to be supernaturally strong, but that still doesn't negate the fact that...
But there's physics.
Physics exists. Yeah. And even if she didn't slide down the barrel of the gun or slump down to the floor... It should have dragged down through the drywall. Because her weight and the way she was pinned to the drywall. Drywall's not that strong.
No, it would have broken.
So she should have, like. It should have cut the drywall. Like, so I don't.
See. My head hurts. Now, if you wanted to really, really get a good. You know, good hang and kill, you gotta say punish. Like, you just cannot...
But it doesn't work if you don't have antlers.
But even then, like, the antler thing is just so bizarre, too, because it's like, that shit, it's like, he would have just stuck her, and then she would have just fallen.
No, wait. No, hold that thought. If it was actually screwed into the studs, there's a chance she would have stayed, because Linnea Quigley was, like, 100 pounds.
That is true. Yeah. But, now, I mean...
I'm not saying for sure, but she was a lot smaller than the woman
in this movie. It's still fucking cool. Again, another Christmas movie I can't wait for. But that was another thing was like with Michael.
Science.
It's like they have this thing where, okay, in Halloween 1, I had the same fucking thing where it was just like, with Bob. And it's like he stuck Bob to the goddamn wall. Super cool kill. It's super iconic. With a chef's knife,
though?
But I was like, how big is the knife?
Chef's knife, I think the blade on most chef knives are like between 5 and 6 inches. But and that's barely enough to get through a torso.
Yeah, and I mean, Bob was a big dude, so it's like... I mean, he was skinny, but it was still like... He's got, like, at least 5-6 inches? Like,
I mean,
like
my
width ways?
I mean, I'm kind of curvy, but even through front to back, you're looking at least a foot.
Yeah, so it's like to actually pin a full-grown man to the wall like that... And still have the butt end of the knife still sticking out a really, like, probably, like, maybe, like, a good 2 inches. I was like, when you only have that big of a, like, it doesn't work. And then the same thing with, like, the fucking gun, where it's just, like...
The rifle would make more... All right, let's pretend for a second. You can turn a rifle into a stabby weapon. The barrel's long enough that there will be some sticking out of both ends, but it's still not long enough to go through a human and... two layers of drywall and still be long enough to hang her, to have enough support, let's pretend gravity doesn't exist, to hold her against that wall. I've never seen a rifle, a standard issue double barrel rifle that long.
I mean, the only way that I could think of, and again, we're fucking myth-bustering this thing, is when, like, so Michael, and I'm, for all...
he thrust up.
Yeah, for all your listeners, like, I'm using my hand in a diagram, so please...
Follow along.
So, if you hold your hand straight up and, you know, put two little tiggle bitties on it right there. Yep, there you go.
Bend your fingers so there's fingers. Boobies.
Yep, there you go, boobies. And then,
boobies.
Yep, boobies. They're just too big, I can't do them. Anyways, so you have the flat end, right? Person. And then you have the gun. And then he jams it into her. Goes into the wall, right? Well, what if... when he, because the gun was angled down, when it goes, it pins to the wall and sticks her that way.
No, so, because he thrust up.
Yeah.
So if you were to hold the rifle in both hands and he thrust up, so if you're coming, you know, if you're winding up for the pitch and you have your elbow behind you and you're driving, it naturally angles the barrel up like
that. Okay.
I'm explaining this to Lunchbox in living color. Just try to use your imagination, guys. So he thrusts up like you would take a knife in order to get the vitals under the rib cage. You go from the abdomen and you thrust up. And he did the same motion with the rifle. So that's why when he pins her to the wall, the rifle barrel is pointing up at roughly like a 45-degree-ish angle. So her body should have started sliding down and eventually slumping. It would probably hit the butt of it because it gets thicker towards the back end of it and slump down and pull the rifle out of the wall.
The fact that we are talking about this in detail is infuriating. Like, I am so mad right now because it's like, it's so like little stuff.
It's
like,
so stupid.
It's little stuff like that where it's, you know, just what, the, it's just,
if the script
take
was,
a second.
If the script were better, I think we could overlook it and just go with it. But this is just another problem in a long line of problems.
Yeah. I mean, and I was actually thinking, is like, okay, so it's weird because,
like, it's a cool kill.
I like the kill, but it doesn't make sense. And it's like little stuff like that where it's like, okay, Michael killing the guy in the power plant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where he just fucking throws the guy into the coils and electrocutes him. That's simple, nice, easy, whatever. Like,
it's pretty brutal too.
Yeah, it's pretty good. They actually they do a better job of it, I believe, in Curse of with the dad in the cellar. I believe is in Curse.
Maybe. It's been a while since I've watched
it. Like, he gets electrocuted and all that other shit. But yeah, so
I just finished watching the Chucky series recently, and that was in episode 1 or 2 where Jake's dad gets Chucky electrocutes. Jake's dad, and he's like getting zapped and he's stuck to the electrical box.
Yeah. So that was the thing, was like, so the electrical kill was nice and easy and it worked. Like, there, it made sense for what he just did. Granted, it's like, okay, so that means that Michael had this plan, like, well, I need to go and get the power shut off so that I can work in complete darkness.
He cut the power to the town, but didn't actually cut the power to the town.
Yeah. And so then the whole thing of when you get the shotgun
scene. The phones still worked.
Yeah, the phones worked and everything else.
Some people had lights on. It's like, oh, stop it.
But that was the thing, was I was trying to think of what would have been a better way for him to, at least kill her with the shotgun, because that's what he had in his hand.
Shoot her.
Well, no, it's like shooting her would have just been, it wouldn't have been his style. Like,
then you club her with it.
The stabbing. There it is. The clubbing.
You turn it around and you club her with the handle.
Yeah, I'm saying you just go swinging for the fences and you clock her right in the jaw and then just
kick her head in.
And, well, you either, like, turn her into a Muppet or you just break her that jaw right clean off. Like, just boom. You just hit it with so much force that it just totally snaps.
Which would have been appropriate kill for that character.
Or if you wanted to keep in with the stabbing thing, I was like, instead of going through her chest right under the tickles, then you just go right for the face and just go right down the gullet and then maybe just let a shot off. You know, it's just like, make it like really intense type of thing, but it's just,
well,
like,
here's the thing, is if he had done that, like, say she screamed and he did do that, then you could plausibly see him drive it through the wall.
Yeah.
Because there's not, with an open mouth, there's only a few inches, and the skull is pretty thin.
And she's shorter than he is, so it would have been a straight shot.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if he wanted to go that route, or he didn't even have to like let off a shot, he could have just boom, barrel
That's
in the mouth straight and just pin her to the wall that way. Yeah,
and that would have made more sense because the bones in the skull are pretty thin. It's a much smaller space. It's only a few inches, and you could have very plausibly gone through her head.
Again, money. So it's
why,
like,
are we getting paid for? We're not getting paid for, like, any of. We need to stop until we start cut the check.
Cut the check.
Just saying.
But that's the thing, is like, it's a cool kill. I'm not gonna deny that it's not. It's just it's implausible. And there really wasn't any other, like, the fucking Brady thing. That bugged the shit out of me, too.
Not so much for me. I actually was like, you know what? He's tried. He kind of tried.
motherfucker got some shots in. I will give that. Yeah. Like, dude, like, way to go, Brady, and your big fucking eyebrows. But holy shit, man! Like,
you know who the winner was in that fight? Really, Brady's eyebrows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got his eyebrows got some shots in. You know, Michael with his pencil drawn on eyebrows, looking at that, you know, Brady's big old thick luscious, boys.
Luscious, so luscious.
Just blowing in the breeze. Ugh. Just, it's got a fucking, like, Winger song behind it.
But, Brady tried. He stood up to him. He tried to be proactive, stupidly. And he died, like you do. But he gave it a shot, until...
Poorly! He poorly got a shot off.
He whiffed completely on that.
Big whiffer!
And then somehow couldn't walk and load a gun at the same time. So he's trying to jam these shells in, and he can't close it because they're not in all the way, and it's not properly loaded, and that's when Michael gets him.
Like, that drives me bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
And they're not that hard to load.
No, and the thing with, like, it's like, okay, so Rachel and Jamie are like, come on, like, you need to come, like come with us. They could have gotten out safely. Well,
out the front door.
Safe-ish, maybe?
No, they could have gotten out. Yeah. Like, Brady's distraction afforded them a ton of time. And Jamie, bless her, tried. Rachel, let's go. Come on, Rachel, let's go. And she's like, no, Brady. And she just wouldn't move until the very last second when Myers gets Brady, looks up, and he goes, oh, you're still here, and starts going after them. They had more than enough time to get down those stairs and out that fucking door.
Yeah. So the thing with Brady, though, is that, so Michael is walking slowly up the stairs. Like, he is taking he's just chewing the scene. And
he's not in a hurry.
No, he's just like,
I think he stopped for coffee on the way up, too.
Yeah, I think there was a Starbucks on the way. he got his pink drink. And,
hey. Some of us are basic, okay? God.
So, but he ended up, like, taking his time, walking up the steps, and Brady's just like, oh, my God. So, but before that, Brady got a shot off, on the door that happened to be fucking just metal that...
Yeah, he went to fire at the lock on one of the doors, and he goes, oh, no, it's metal, I can't get in. And then cut to the school where Loomis fires off a shot on a metal chain, and then the chain breaks because consistency.
Yeah. And
ooh, boy.
I get the whole thing of, like, okay, this is a sheriff's, you know, house, and he's, like, super protected or whatever, but, and, like, you know, the door that, like, all that shit, it's, like, whatever it is, but, like, the fact that it stops a fucking shotgun is, okay, like, that's a little much. And on top of that, it's, like, there was windows, there was other stuff that you could sit there to try to break out of. Like, there's ways, there has to be a way for you to exit. When the sheriff goes, okay, everything's sealed off, this is the only way out. He doesn't say, this is the only way in. He says, this is the only way out. Meaning that, for the people inside, you fucked. You fucked, son.
Yeah, because he sent Brady up to start locking down the windows and boarding up the windows, starting with the attic, which I'm actually kind of convinced was just busy work to keep him away from Kelly.
Yep.
Like, literally, it was just to get Brady away and give him something to do that was not his daughter.
I do love the line, too, where it's like, hey, you know how to use a shotgun? Awesome. Like, okay, go upstairs. I need you to board up the windows. Make sure everything is secure. Oh, and by the way, if you ever grope my daughter, I'm gonna go ahead and use that shotgun on you. And Brady's like, oh, fuck. he doesn't give a yes, sir. He doesn't give a, like, a gotcha. He just
had,
like...
He had scared...
Gotcha.
It was scared rabbit face.
Like...
Yeah, I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die. I don't wanna die. So he...
Tiggle Bitty's death.
Yeah, so it was literally... That's the only reason I could think of as to why Brady needed to go board up those windows. And even still, he did a real piss-poor job of it. Because despite the fact that Jamie and Rachel couldn't open them, she broke the glass with a chair.
That's what I mean. It's like, you have a shotgun, and you have a window, or you have something that you could bust out that bottom window to get out of the house. Because those windows are actually pretty big.
Yeah.
And so, it didn't look like it would be
but something. But why? They had to put the chase on the roof!
I know. So, but that was the thing, was like, it was... Like, the whole thing with Brady, where it's like, okay, so he's struggling trying to put this goddamn... the bullets in the gun, and when he's doing a piss poor job of that, Michael's like, hey buddy, I'm gonna come help you, just give me a second. And then all of a sudden, like, he finally gets it in there, and Michael's like on him, and he tries to get the shot off, and he shoots like over to the right, and then Michael like comes and like manhandles him. But it was just the whole thing of like, you couldn't run with the girls, load your gun, and give yourself some space?
All he needed to do was get one shell in there. You can fire with just the one.
But that's what I'm saying. I was like, he could have literally listened to Rachel and Jamie, gone with them, make sure that his firearm is loaded, ready to go, be in, and again, the room that they were standing in, or like the little doorway leading up to the attic or whatever, like just that where they were at, was this very narrow spot. So in my mind, again, just a thinking man's mind, you know,
no,
you go
it's
in,
not.
You go in to, you shut your mouth.
I
know I am not a smart man, but I know what I'm talking about, because literally he could have ran in, send the girls up, load the gun, turn around, narrow hallway, Michael comes in, easy, clean shot. Mm-hmm. He would have had every time in the world just go, blam, and then shotgun right to the face. Probably wouldn't have done anything, because we know how that works out for Michael getting shot in the face. And then...
Twice,
beautifully in the eyes. He has eyes! Why does he have eyes? God, I hate this movie. But no, but that was the thing, was like... like, that would have been the idea for me, is to, for Brady to actually go in. Maybe he would have gotten a shot off, and Michael would have done this, like, Matrix, like, thing, and then, you know, dodged the bullets, and then gone after and did the fight with Brady. But it was still one of those things where it's like, it felt very stupid to sit there and just go, I'm just gonna stay where I'm at.
Yes,
and not
it's bad decisions.
Get away. It's like that. I hate that.
You know what else is a really bad decision? Trying to run away on a tile roof.
Yeah.
You know what tile roofs don't have?
Grippage.
Yeah. There's no grip.
Yeah.
It's clay. It's fired clay.
Yeah.
It's fired and glazed clay. And you know what clay doesn't have? Grip.
I actually got to thinking, I was like, man, it's like, you know what? Good on you, all you roofers out there. It's like, man, you guys just doing the Lord's work and just putting them good old roofs on for us good old working folks. That's like, good on you. And it's like, yeah, like, Curtis is a roofer. It's like, yeah, thanks, Curtis. Like, because that thing is, it's such a ridiculous job, and it's so just, it puts a lot on you. And as I'm watching her carry this child on her back like fucking Yoda, and it's just like, she's like climbing up, I'm like, that's gotta be fucking rough.
Yeah, there's no grip, and you know, so you know what happens when you step on the edge of a tile on a tile roof? They shatter.
Yeah.
They're not meant to hold any weight at all.
Yeah.
So... yeah, it was the world's worst, and I guess, like, it's supposed to add to the suspense, the fact that they had a slippery tile roof to work with, but, like, why is it so dumb?
And I love, too, that she, I mean, again, it's the survivor, you know, compared to the killer, you know, because you're panicking, and the other guy is... cool, calm, and collected. Like, mm-hmm. he knows what he's doing. But it's just funny because it's like, she's slipping and sliding all over the place. And he just fucking gets out. He's like, I'm a fucking pro. I got some grips on my shoes. Like,
no, he was slipping too.
Was he? Like, I didn't see him slip, but he wasn't slipping like she was. Like, I mean, she fucking like...
Well, no, because she was trying to crawl on all fours with a 9-year-old on her back.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like, but it was just funny because...
But no, he wasn't graceful about it either. It should have been raining. That's how much more... Like, that's the only way this would have gotten more absurd, is if it was raining.
Yeah, just... Woo, like,
and everyone's just... Phew, sliding up, down their asses on this thing.
It would have turned into a Benny Hinn episode.
Oh, yeah. You know, that would have added something to this.
Just, and then you get the sound of the whoop.
Yeah, some cartoon noises. No, we've seen Freddy dead. Freddy's dead. We know how that works.
Great graphics.
It doesn't work. But, and Rachel survives the fall, and then, you know, we start getting to our climax where the Illinois boys were there as the vigilante group because there were no cops left. And what cracked me up, and I actually loved Loomis for saying this, was Meeker was like, you need to leave this to the police, and Loomis looks over at him, he's like, what fucking police?
Yeah.
You don't have any left. Let them go. They're the best chance you have of getting this guy. You don't have any other help. And so they're all off doing their own thing, but they're all a bunch of half... They go in half-cocked because they're all a little drunk, too. And they kill some dude in the bushes.
It was one of the... It was the neighborhood kids.
And one of them looks in the bush, and he's like... I don't remember the kid's name, but he recognizes who it is, and he goes, oh no, boys, we fucked up.
Yeah, they, like, because they went over, they saw this, like, gazebo, and they see Michael, or...
What they thought
was Michael, sitting in the bush, and they didn't do the whole thing of, like, hey, stop, like, you know, we're gonna shoot.
Yeah,
and
who are you?
Yeah, they just went, boom, and they just started blasting, and then that's when, like, oh, fuck, you idiot, like... I thought you said
Jordy,
that you saw him.
You look it.
Pretty much. Now, is it... I don't know if you caught this. I mean, you and me are both conservatives and stuff like that, but did you not see MAGA? That whole scene?
I'm a libertarian, but I
well, libertarian,
definitely,
but, like...
I mean, a couple of them could have been wearing red hats.
They were all wearing red hats and toting shotguns, and I'm like... I was like, that's what liberals see... MAGA conservatives as, like, that's what it is. It's like, yeah. if you ask, like, and I'm sorry if you're a liberal, but it's like, holy shit, but like, tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, because it's like, if they could build a Trump supporter, that's what
that's
would look
what
like.
It would
yeah.
look like. It's just like, it's like the poster child of what.
But like, you know. I give that mistake aside,
a whoopsie doodle.
Yeah,
that's never brought up again in the movie.
No, because most of them, because they all end up dead, so there's nothing to bring up at that point. So justice, yay! But they are trying to drive Jamie and Rachel out of town to someplace safe.
Oh, I can feel it rising again.
The bile.
Oh, just
to someplace safe, and they, especially the driver, the lead redneck. Doesn't notice the weight in the truck changing as Michael is pitching the guys out of the truck bed out into the road because he hitched, like, he climbed up underneath the truck and hitched himself to the frame. And whilst the truck was in motion, he manages to climb out up over the tailgate in the back of the truck without anybody noticing him.
I'm doing inner... meditation right
now. You're trying to find your PMA?
I'm just trying to just get the chakras in line and just...
Find your peaceful middle here?
Yep.
Yep. So he manages to climb up into the truck bed, start hucking these dudes off into the road
just
somehow.
Just eating them bad boys out.
Yeah, and the driver and nobody in the cab can feel...
Or hear it. It's like a soundproof cab.
Yeah. No, that's a metal truck bed. You hear people stomping around in that no matter how fast you're going, but that's cool. So nobody notices the change in weight or any sound, and then Michael climbs up on the roof of the cab and breaks out one of the windows to reach in to grab somebody, and there's the driver has a gun, and no one thinks to go, oh, there he is, and point it at the ceiling and just go bang at the guy. Like, you know where he is because he's got an arm stuffed in the driver's side window. So you can kind of gauge, like, his chest is probably there-ish. Bang. And then, at the very least, you get him off the truck if you don't kill him completely. Flames
or
on the sides of my face.
I have so many, 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 many problems.
Many, many problems.
Let's start at the school, shall we?
At least this time we didn't get the Samhain.
Oh, okay, okay. So, at the school, we see where Loomis and Jamie go. They break in, set off the alarm just to get people to, like, hey, oh, I'm gonna come here.
Do you know what alarm systems need to work? Electricity. You want to know what the town didn't have?
Yeah,
electricity. It's also, who's gonna answer that alarm?
No, it was the alarm just so that somebody in town, because he knew, like, all the gun-toting rednecks were out.
But who would normally be answering that alarm?
I know, yeah.
The cops. What was that town missing?
Yeah, they're all gone, yeah. They're pickless.
So why do we have a security system with no power and no cops?
Yeah. Oh, it's not lost on me. Like, right when it happened, I was just like, the fuck?
But why?
Why?
Most importantly, security systems need electricity to work.
Yeah. I got it.
So there were no lights.
So there you go. Okay. Now, the whole thing with Loomis getting yeeted and then Jamie running away, and she sees Michael in...
She was power walking away. I wouldn't say she ran.
Yeah, but no, she was still getting away from the shape. And... She sees a shape.
Tugging on doorknobs.
She sees a shape at the top of the stairs inside the school, right? Inside.
Okay, go ahead.
Inside the school. And then Rachel and everyone, they all get outside, right? And they get with the rednecks and they're sitting there going, like, oh, let's get out of here.
No, he's inside. Not quite yet. Rachel has Jamie in her arms because Rachel somehow survived the fall off of that roof. And she took one of the worst bumps I'd ever seen.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
And, but anyway, so she manages to get in the school. She takes Michael temporarily out, grabs Jamie, and is carrying her outside of the school. So she runs into the Illinois boys. This is before they all are going to take off to another town. Rachel is asking them for help. He's inside. And the rednecks ask him where.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's... Yep.
In the school, Jughead!
Put your natty ice down and let's go!
Yeah, like, he's inside. Inside where? He's, you know, City Hall. Okay. He's up the road.
Yeah. Alright, so, yeah. Again... Bad. Now the whole thing. So they all go, okay, yeah, let's fuck off, right? So they get in the truck and they leave. How does Michael end up on the back of the truck? He's been hanging on the bottom of this truck.
He was also unconscious in the school when they left.
Exactly. So how the fuck does he get there and he's underneath?
And how does he know which truck they're taking? Because there was a few vehicles there.
Exactly. And then when he gets on the truck, as you said, then the big problem is that he's sitting there just bouncing people out like they're at a bad nightclub. And then he just sits there and all of a sudden, like, yeah, on top, smashes the window.
Although when he does rip the driver's head off, that was pretty cool.
That was, again, that's always a cool thing just because it's a kind of like a Michael thing.
Under, grabbed him under his jaw and, like, pierced the flesh underneath. And he, like,
fucking bowling balled him.
Yeah, and he starts tearing his jaw and his head off his shoulders.
Cool.
Okay, that's fine. And then Rachel has to take over from there.
Here's the thing. Rachel hits the gas. Mm-hmm. hit the fucking brake. You hit the brake. There's no way for him to grip. He just whoop and just slides the fuck off. And then you just gun it again. I was like, that happens in every fucking movie.
Eventually she figured that part out.
No, but I'm saying, like, you fucking hit the brake, like, almost immediately. She's, like, she's grabbing the wheel, like, taking it, like, doing the whole thing.
Yeah, and he's reaching and grabbing for her after she pushes the driver.
Yeah, no, fucking hit the brake. Like, let him, just send him over. I was like, that is within the simplest thing.
She did get there, eventually. It took a minute, but she got there.
Yeah, but the whole time I'm going, hit the brake. Brake, sweetie. Brake. Brake. They don't listen. Break.
Kids, goddamn break. Kids, don't listen.
Hit the brake. Okay, he's in the window again. Okay, shoot him. Okay, just shoot him. Break. Hit the brake. Like, the whole time. It's just like.
Damn kids, don't listen. Shake his fist.
Jeez, like that the whole goddamn time. And then, when she finally gets him out there, they're in this graveyard. Super, like, okay, that's iconic. It's whatever. Like, I mean, it looks really creepy. It's a...
It's a look.
Yeah, it's a look. And then all of a sudden, when all the gun-toting rednecks get out there with the sheriff, and they just start blasting. It's just like... And then they send him into the grave, and then the thing falls on him. And... Again...
But nobody bothers to check...
Why?
No one checks to make sure he's actually dead.
They take the girls back to the house, and Loomis goes, yep, no, we got him. The fuck you say? You Nobody. Know damn well, sir.
Hey, double tap.
You know damn well that you're going back there, you're burning the body, you're going to take the ashes, you're going to blow the ashes over the fucking river, you're going to make that sure that shit spreads, and he is never going to come back. Quote unquote. But it's just like, you know.
But money.
But that's the thing is, like, just for Loomis to go, yep, nope, we got him. Like, he's in the grave where he
you
belongs.
Shot him 6 times and you didn't get him.
Dude, like, it's like, oh, nope, it was because he was in a grave that made that it was, that he's gone.
I mean, he was essentially buried alive under headstones and stuff. So one would assume. But considering this guy has survived being shot multiple times, twice in the eyes, and then set on fire, among other things, and he still came back, can we just not assume anything anymore and actually, like, I don't know, cut his head from the body?
I mean, I like the whole... We get to that later. Finger wiggles.
Finger wiggles?
But there was the thing of, like... I do like where it's Michael is a supernatural killer in the sense that he just will take damage and
oh, for sure.
And he doesn't feel it. I was like, that's fine. I can deal with that because, you know, you got characters like Leatherface or, I mean, they're just so super hulking, but when they take damage, it really hurts them.
Yeah.
I mean, you got even like, I think Jason would be one where it's like if he does take damage, he doesn't really... show it to, like, it doesn't affect him unless he's getting, like, a spear in the face. And then it's just like, you know, Freddy, it's like, he'll take damage, but because it's, you know, Robert Englund, like, you're actually seeing his face, you're seeing his expressions,
mm-hmm.
You have to see that, but then Freddy kind of just goes, ha ha, fucking gotcha. And so it works that way. So I can dig that Michael will take bullets, and just keep on walking.
Yeah, now. Okay, sure, fine. But, like, the fact is, like, the shit he survived, no one bothered to check.
No.
And then, I mean, probably the coolest thing about this movie is the end with Jamie. Even though we don't get a reason as to why she decided to slice and dice her foster mom.
I hated that ending. I hated it.
What I hated about the ending was it was just left there. Like, okay, let's say Michael is dead. We're going to pass the torch to Jamie Lloyd. That would have been an interesting wrinkle. But no, we can't commit to fucking anything because this is a slasher series. So why? Why? Why commit to doing something kind of neat or putting a twist on an ending? We're just going to go ahead and say that she didn't actually kill her foster mom. And we'll make it that she went temporarily crazy. And we'll just put her in asylum for the next film.
I just
and then Loomis. I think what probably bugged you the most was the Loomis. No, no. At the end of it.
Wait, what did that sound like? That was,
no,
no, it's, no.
That's the sound Draco makes in the middle of the night when he sees shit in the wall.
No, it's no. For me, it's oh, what is it?
Because it definitely sounds like.
I got it. Nerf.
Pinky?
It's Pinky. No. No, brain. Like, it's fucking Pinky.
Nerf.
Luma's doing the Nerf. Come on now.
Almost. Like, almost. But it actually, to me, sounds a lot like my cat Draco in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night, if he's shut out of the bedroom and he's seeing shadows on the walls, that's what his cry sounds like.
You know
like.
What I'm going to do now? Is I'm going to put that movie on at that scene.
Hey! Maybe that could be...
Hold on. Okay. Let me get this out. It was really funny. So I'm going to get put it on, and I'm going to get one of those, like, little toys that the... Wow.
Oh, the cow can?
Wow. Just like, no. No.
No, you know what I was thinking? Because remember you were talking about making a card for the social media?
Yeah.
When this episode comes out? Maybe you could do that. Maybe you could draw the no face, Dr. Loomis, but then put a speech bubble that says, Narf. Instead, come on, you love it.
I might have to do the note. That actually might be pretty good. I have a couple of good ideas for.
I don't know, man.
Cards,
but
that's pretty good.
But having the no face Narf. And then having it saying Narf. Come on.
But no, but honestly, the Loomis part of that, I actually liked.
Really?
I liked that part. I didn't like the whole thing of Jamie just out of nowhere just putting on the mask and then killing the mom and then standing at the top of the stairs with the knife. Like, that, it didn't make sense because there's no context as to why she did it.
Right, like she just suddenly went crazy. It's supposed to call back to Halloween 1 when little Michael killed his sister Judith.
Which I also didn't like. But,
well, he was a clown, she was a clown, yeah. There were supposed to be parallels there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I get, like, she's, you know, relative, and then, you know, it could be passed down and all that other good shit, but at the same time, it was just, you never have any inkling that she's got something wrong with her, and all of a sudden, just at the end of it, she's like, oh, I'm just gonna go just on a murdering spree. And then stand at the top of the stairs. But the thing that I liked about Loomis is when he's just like, no, like, because he had to deal with the shit before with Michael.
Again?
But the thing that was crazy was he pulled a gun on her. Mm-hmm. Like, he pulled the gun out and the sheriff had to stop him. Like, he was going to blast away at Jamie.
The sheriff didn't know that was Jamie up there. Because you saw when he grabbed the gun from Loomis, he turned around. Meeker was pointing the gun up the stairs, and it took him a second to realize.
He's like, oh, no.
Because he thought he was pointing it at Michael, and it was like, don't let the civvy do the killing. So he was going to shoot, and he saw that it was Jamie, and you could see the surprise on Meeker's face.
Yeah, all of them were. So that was cool, but it was one of those, like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, he pulled a gun on a girl. Like, the whole time... Loomis is trying to save this girl, and then the moment when she comes out with the knife, and he's just like, "I can't."
I think it was scissors.
It was just something sharp. I think it was scissors. But I mean, they were big fucking scissors.
They were sewing scissors. They were meant to cut fabric.
Yeah. So, but like when he's just like, so again, he's spending this entire movie saving this girl, and then turn around, and he's like, he just lost it and pointed the gun at her.
He's not very good at his job.
That's fucking crazy to me.
Because that's two.
Yeah. And then, but the thing that drives me, again, I'm not really looking forward to the next film, because I remember what happens there, was...
Tina!
Tina!
You looking forward to Tina?
Nah, yeah. Oh, no, but that, like, well, actually, Tina never really bothered me that much.
Wow, you're like the only one.
I know. Not saying it didn't bother me, not as much as some people. But, like, but no, that was the thing, was, like, all the stuff that happened with Jamie afterwards, it just kind of, like, they just smoothed that over, and then it went into this whole other thing, and it was just, like, why didn't you just continue on with the killing thing? Like, what? She killed...
This is The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
The next one's The Last Jedi. And then they try to smooth everything back out with The Curse of Michael Myers being The Rise of Skywalker. None of it makes sense.
Yeah. However, with The Rise, I did like the Palpatine thing. I'm sorry, like, I love...
You're, like, the only one.
I love Palpatine. Like, Palpatine is one of my favorite characters. Like, I fucking...
He was, like, a thousand, but okay.
But I fucking loved it. It was fucking... It's fucking Palpatine. He looked fucking cool shit. Looked creepy. I liked it.
All right.
I don't know. That's just me. That's just me.
So, before... Next week, when we get into talking about Tina... Yay, Tina.
Yeah.
What's your skull rating?
Do you want to do this one first? Let you go with this one first because I'm gonna go.
This is like a 2.2. I actually used to quite like this one.
I was actually surprised because
this used to be one of my favorite ones, and then part of it is watching it a bit more critically, and then part of it is watching it with Curtis.
Yeah, I was gonna say because he's probably going, "What the fuck is this?" Blah blah blah.
Yeah. When you're watching movies like this with somebody who is highly logical, it's really
and
difficult.
He says, bah, 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 bah.
Yeah.
is that how Curtis talks?
No.
Bah, 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 bah.
No, not even a little. That's fine. Bah, 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 bah. But when you're watching a movie like this with somebody who's highly logical, they are able to see a lot of things that you would normally gloss over. Now, if there were a couple of these issues, you could very easily be like, I'll let it go. But when there's issues in almost every scene, eventually you kind of go, huh. Somebody during the whole process of this didn't look at any step of the way, from pre-production to shooting to post-production and editing, nobody took a look at this and went, hey, I think we're missing some stuff. You want to, like, can we fix it? Nobody, not a single person, stopped and went, we need to fill in some issues here or fix some issues. I hate when that happens because this is a studio film. This isn't some tiny little, like, the original Halloween movie was a $300,000 indie movie.
I can give it to John Carpenter and Halloween 1 of doing something that was definitely going to be something that was iconic and scary, and it was one of the technically first major slasher films. I mean, Black Christmas was...
Oh, that was a major, though. You could probably say Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but Black Christmas was not a major film at all.
No, I'm saying, like for our major slashers, like for Halloween being the major slasher.
Yeah, that was the first, like, big slasher name and face.
Yes. So, I mean, I again, give John Carpenter tons of credit. I mean, the kills were cool. Just the atmosphere and the sound effects. Like, he did something that was really good. Do I like it 100%?
And the theme song still slaps.
Oh, 100%. Do I love it? No. But again, I respect it. And is the fucking merch cool? You bet your ass it is. Does Lunchbox want to buy it? Every single year. But I don't want to be a poser. It's just like, but it's just one of those things where I respect it so much. And for the studio to try to continue it on after the technical dud of number 3. And it's just like, it just really, really hurts. And it's just like,
Halloween suffers from the same thing they all do. It's cash grab syndrome. This movie suffers from... You know what's really sad about this is they have a fantastic final girl in this with Rachel.
Yeah.
They had an interesting idea with Jamie becoming the next gen killer. Whether you liked the execution of her or not, it was still an interesting idea. They had a few germs of really good things in this movie, and they had 6 years. 6 years since Halloween, since Season of the Witch had come out, to figure this shit out. That's the part that pisses me off the most, is they had a chance to do something incredible to bring Michael Myers back. They had 6 fucking years to do it, and they made what felt like a throw-together film. Now, if you don't look at the seams, this is perfectly enjoyable. But the second you notice an issue and you ask one question, that domino falls, and then the whole row goes over. You are going to start asking all of the questions. Why is this happening? That doesn't make sense. Why doesn't this make sense? How did they forget about that detail? Like, there's so much here where you're looking at it and you're scratching your head, because there's a lot of stuff where I'm like, man, that is a super cool idea. Or I kind of like where that's going. Or that was a really neat kill. Which is why, you know, it's kind of a little lower than middle of the road. It's like a C minus. But like, I just kind of, I don't know, man. Like, you've got all that time to make what should have been a certifiable classic. And somehow, that didn't happen.
So you gotta go out with a bang and then...
but come screaming back in with something cool.
And then you just done it up.
At that point, we hadn't seen Michael Myers in 7 or 8 years. So, like, why not go big? Instead, we got a retread of the 78 movie, basically, with similar ideas. It's a babysitter murder. He's going after a babysitter. Like, it starts in a hospital, and the patient transfer, and he's gone back to Haddonfield, and he kills a mechanic or gas station attendant to steal the... He steals the jumpsuit. He steals the mask, and it's like we're following these real similar beat patterns from the first film. So what this is a watered-down rehash of what Carpenter had done 10 years prior.
Yep.
And that annoys me, because I've already seen that movie, and for all of the faults of Nightmare on Elm Street, at least they try to do something different each time.
Yeah.
As stupid as a lot of it was, you know what? You fuckers tried. This was a watered-down rehash, and I hadn't quite noticed that before, but even before my boyfriend said something, we're at the hospital with the Smiths Groves attendants ready to transfer him. I'm like, I've seen this before. Fuck, we're going down this road again. And it was the very similar plot patterns and points and all that shit. And I was like, oh no, how did I not notice this before? It's basically the same movie. Oh no. Like, Jamie might as well have been Tommy Doyle.
Yep.
For all the good it did. So, a 2.2, I think that's fair. I mean, I still get some enjoyment out of it. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen, but I'm really sad that my opinion had changed so much on this rewatch. And I've seen this movie quite a few times.
And we had that discussion during our recap for the Nightmare on Elm Street series, where it was like, is watching these films, like, for the podcast, are they ruining your enjoyment for them?
And this one kind of got ruined.
Yeah, because I remember liking this one, well...
more.
Enjoying it, I guess, as far as, like, all the other ones.
You liked it okay.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it was fine, but it's like, I like it because of Danielle Harris, because she's fucking great. Like, she's a great little kid. She's super cute, and then she's very, like, you just, the whole time, especially now that I'm a dad, dad for a while, plus I'm a dad of a little girl, where it's like, I just want to give her a hug. Like, the whole time I'm like, I just want to go give my kids hugs right now. Like, I know they're sleeping, but it's like, I need to just go give them a hug, because, like, this little girl is making me feel just so goddamn bad right now. Especially, like, when, like, the kids are picking on her at school. I'm like, I want to just go and just start punching kids in the face.
Those same kids that bullied her, a few hours later, when they meet up with her trick-or-treating, are like, hey, cool costume, come join us. I'm like, what?
Was that the same kids?
That was the same kids!
Yeah, see, that I didn't catch that, but it was just one of those, like... But even then, I was like, you know what? I was like, that's cool. Like, now the kids are, like, getting her in. Like, that's actually, that'd be actually kind of nice. I mean, that's...
Sure, I guess.
I mean, I guess that's fine, but it's still one of those, like, you know, like, what the hell, kid?
But just a few hours before, with no consequences, nothing. Like, they went from picking on her, boogeyman, boogeyman, your uncle's the boogeyman, to a few hours later being like, hey, cool costume, come trick-or-treat with us.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry. No. No, you little shit.
Yeah. So, like, I just felt so bad for her, but I actually love Danielle Harris in this film, and her connection with Rachel is great. It's genuine. It's very believable, and I feel really bad for Rachel, too. So, you have that connection where, and you also, during the film, you're actually wanting them to get away.
Yeah,
and that's something, and that is something that I will give them credit for. And it is very hard to do in horror films now because it's either, oh my God, just fucking kill them already, or no, no, please God, don't. And it's,
or you literally are just like, I don't have an opinion one way or the other, I guess. But and if they die, it's ineffectual.
Great, yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, well, that's a body.
Yeah, exactly. It's just can of fodder.
Don't care.
So, but for Rachel and Jamie, it's like you wanted them to survive, which is great. However, with Michael, what the fuck? How can you be scared of that mask? The mask was so shit.
So bad.
Especially when it comes from like, if you put the original mask back into this film, probably would have had a different outcome.
Here's the issue. Yeah. And this is the part that...
And I'll get into my skull rating in a second.
The part that blows my mind on the mask thing. They bought a $2 William Shatner mask and just altered it a little. That effect, that makeup, cost them $2 and like a can of spray paint. Nothing. It was a nothing... Zero investment on that.
They, like, opened up the eyes a little bit.
Yeah, they melted it a bit. They painted it. They changed the hair, whatever. But it cost them nothing to do this. Why couldn't we get this right ever again? Yeah. We didn't get it right until Zombie did it.
And I love, too, like, I'm looking at the box art that you have for, like, your...
The Blu-ray,
for the Blu-ray and stuff like that. And it's the original mask.
Yeah.
They used... I was like, I bet you. You put that mask from number 4 on the box cover, and it changes the whole damn feel of it.
So what's your skull rating?
So, anyways. But, like, so the mask... sucked for me, and
mask sucked for
a lot of the special effects.
It's not the worst one, but it's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. But this one, the mask really hurt, and it also just kind of drove home the fact that it's like I don't find Michael Myers scary at all. Is he a threat? Yeah, sure, but not scary. Like I don't. It's just my personal preference. But for this film, I gave it a 1.3.
Wow.
It is low. I do not like this film. And that's the thing is, like...
You used to.
I used to. Like, I remember, like, when it was, like... Because I still had a problem with Halloween, where it's like, okay, well, we gotta watch one. I guess let's watch number 4, because that's the most enjoyable out of it.
And now it's, like, your least.
Yeah, and that's where it's, like, I find so many problems. And it's just...
sadness, apparently.
It's just bad. It's just, I don't like... Like I said, Jamie and Rachel are the only thing that are the enjoyable. Oh, and then the Reverend that drives that, you know.
The picks up Loomis.
Yeah, I was like.
He was entertaining.
He was the entertaining one. But it was just the, and just seeing like Loomis like smile like, I found a friend. Like, mm-hmm. it was really funny. But like, now, as you mentioned though, the scene with the gas station.
Yeah.
That is my favorite scene in the whole...
Where like, Loomis gets in and he sees Michael on the other side?
Well, the whole thing of, like, Loomis filling up his car and he's like, hey, like, I need help, whatever, I only gotta pay for this stuff. And then he walks in and he just sees the carnage. And he just sees the bodies and he's like, oh my God. And he's walking around and he knows that Michael's around. And then...
And Michael steals his car.
Yeah, but here's the other problem that I have with this is that... So we get the visuals, and maybe you can answer this, but we get the visuals with Jamie hallucinating that she sees Michael. Like, maybe he's in the room, and she has the nightmare, and then she's in the closet, that whole bit. The same thing with the drugstore. Was he actually there?
Mm-hmm.
That whole deal, right? Was Michael actually at the gas station?
I think he was.
So here's the thing, was that It was super cool, and it's an awesome visual where he just goes in, slaughters a whole gas station, and then he ends up stealing the truck and fucks off, right? Well, when Loomis turns around and sees Michael in the jumpsuit and then fires at him, where'd he go? He just poof, disappear like the fucking genie, and just that was it. I was like, that motherfucker moved fast.
Oh, no, maybe... I think maybe Loomis saw the carnage, connected the dots, and just thought he saw him. I don't know, because he did go poof.
Exactly. He just went, oop, and then, like, it was gone, and Loomis was like, oh, like, where the fuck, like, he didn't know what to do, and
everybody
then all of a sudden...
Everybody was hallucinating the shape.
And then he, like, he looked out the window, and then all of a sudden, Michael drives out. So, I mean, unless Michael was there, but not in that shot where he's in the doorway. And, like, Loomis is seeing... Like, that would be the only thing that would make any sense for him to just go,
no.
I fire, and then, boom, he's not there.
No, I really... Actually, I changed my mind on that. I do think Michael was there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was just something where I just thought, like, it was... I liked it because Loomis is dealing with Michael saying, like, just leave those people alone. Don't go back to Haddonfield. If you need to take another body, just take mine.
Right.
Like, I like that where he's just, like, he's coming to terms with, you know, what is happening. He's like, just please just take me and just end this. Like,
yeah.
I'm done.
You know, he's so sick of this
yeah.
shit.
But then, like, when he takes the tow truck and then, you know, yanks out the gas pump and then lights everything on fire and just goes nuts. I was just like, that's pretty awesome. And then the reverend showing up was like, oh, I got car troubles. He's like, yeah, something like that. It's just like. So, I mean, I love that scene just because it does build up a lot of intensity. However, they rehatch that in the Halloween remake. But in a
yeah.
better way. Like, they, like,
with
amped
Joe
it up.
Joe Grizzly, bitch.
Well, no, the Halloween remake, but then Halloween...
Oh, Halloween...
18.
Yeah.
H40. H40, yeah. But because they did that where the gas attendant... like, he gets his jaw ripped off, and then they do the whole bathroom
yeah,
scene. And yeah, so I was like, which is so fucking cool. Like, and that is something where I'm like, the fact that I enjoy that movie after I had so much just saltiness towards it, I was just like, I fucking like those movies. Like, I'm all about
the David Gordon Green movies?
Yeah,
so
like,
far?
Yeah, the new ones, like, for Halloween Kills, and now it's like, I can't wait for Ends, and that's...
weird.
That is weird to say.
Yeah.
Because it just, yeah. So, but for this one, like, some of the kills I like, but they just don't make sense. The special effects as far as, like, for, like, the, you know, Michael's mask, I fucking hate. Loomis I liked. Jamie, Rachel I liked. But
this was
still,
the best Loomis out of all of them.
Yeah, but still, it's like, it's still...
and I don't like the Loomis character.
What'd I give it, like, a 1.3, 1.5? Like, it was in the one, yeah.
Here? Oh, this one?
Yeah, this one was like 1.3, yeah.
I don't know. When you go back and edit, you'll know. I can't
yeah.
remember off the top of my head.
But no,
I know it was low. It was like one something like that, 1.3, 1.4.
Yeah, I'm giving this a 1.3. Solid. That's it. That's, you know, fuck this movie. It's just like, I don't like this thing at all. And, you know, the worst goddamn part of this movie, he had fucking eyes.
Okay, calm down.
Yeah.
Okay. Guess
I'm
what?
Gonna rage.
Guess what? We are done watching it. We are done talking about it. We're done.
Sorry, I just love doing that.
We're done. For now. Until we do Halloween 5 next week.
I'm gonna go watch Jaws. Oh.
Okay, but we still have to watch Halloween 5
no!
next week.
You actually see his eyes in that one.
Yeah, they grew back. Hey! You know how... Cult of Thorn. Magic.
Okay. It's poop again.
I think we're going to be feeling like
oh
that.
Oh my
lot.
God.
We're going to have a stretch of saying that a lot.
That is just the worst thing about the Michael series, like, saga going forward. It's like, he lost his eyes. I was like, that is something that you... It's like, it's like, his eyes, we're like...
But why, though?
It's like, continuity for me is a big thing. And that is...
Well, like, how did Loomis get away with just a burn on his face?
That's... Same thing. I mean, it's like, yeah, he had the burn on his face and then the scar. But, I mean...
Blofeld is back.
But he could... But he survived. And, yeah, fucking Blofeld. But, like, I mean, like, that's the thing is... It's not to say that he couldn't survive that. But at the same time... his eyes. The eyes are gone.
Okay, we get it. We get it. Sweetie. I'm the leprechaun. No, we're not. Actually, next week is Halloween 5, The Dream Child. Wait.
What? I am not editing that.
I was kidding.
It
is not The Dream Child.
You just had me going.
No, that was a joke.
Well played.
That was totally a joke. So next week is Halloween 5, where we trade an excellent final girl for less than. So until then, hit that subscribe button. You'll get that in your favorite podcatcher next Tuesday. Like, share, subscribe. 5-star reviews especially are appreciated. We got to beat the algorithm. Go ahead and follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Slasher at Creepin' It Real. You can email us at creepinitreal.cm@gmail.com. And you can yell at us for how wrong we are there. And we will go ahead and take that hate mail and put it in the trash
box. And speaking of yelling, I do apologize for anybody that is listening to this show with headphones. Because I do lots of yellings. I get amped, so sorry for that one there.
Because eyes.
Because the fucking eyes!
Yeah. Calm down. And if you still... And if you still like us after this point, thank you. Could you please rep our merch, creepitreal.redbubble.com?
That's pretty sweet.
Hit the link in the Instagram bio to let everyone know how awesomely contrarian we are to popular opinions. So, until next week, I've been Mistress Meg.
I've been the very sad lunchbox.
And hey, it's over. Mr. Sandman, send me a dream, make him the cutest that I've ever seen.